It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Team, and we'll do a bit of a Q&A at the end. I will be able to do the Q&A because I'll be able to see the chat once I minimise OBS and all that kind of stuff, so we should be fine. And Seb, thank you again for sorting out all the slides for us this evening. I've done my best to ruin this evening, but it's going okay so far. So, points so far this week, I'm going to have to bring it up on my phone because the OBS screen is so small on my computer that I can't actually see it. So my points this week, I'm on 58 points this week. I took a minus 12 and I'm on a 4K red arrow, which actually, after taking a minus 12, I will very much take. I had Petrovic in goal, who's still got a fixture left but got 2 points. Gabriel with one, Reguilon with one, and Cher with one. Cheers for turning up, lads. Cher went off injured as well. Then I've got Gordon with 10, Saka with 12. That was a big keep from me. Son with 7, Garnacho with 2, and Palmer captain with 4. And then I had Haaland with 5 and Isak with 13. I actually had Morris first on my bench with 7 points, which I thought was perfect considering we didn't know whether Haaland was going to play. Zabanyi, who was ill, missed his first minutes of the season. He was ill, got 0 points, and Gusto obviously didn't show up. God knows whether he's going to be available for 37. But yeah, I took a minus 12, so I took out Areola. No, I didn't. I took out Neto, who was still dropped, and brought in Petrovic for his double game week. I took out Udogi for Cher, because I thought I quite liked Cher's fixtures moving forward, and I like his goal threat as well. Brought in Gordon and Isak for Tony and Salah. I wasn't going to do the Salah to Gordon move, but I did it last minute to make it a minus 12 because we saw Salah wasn't playing. And actually, just those boys alone have kind of made sure the hits have been worth it. So they got 23 points between them. And a minus 12, but to only be on a 4K red, kept Saka when he was only 33% owned now. I was extremely happy with how the game week's gone so far. If you'd have offered me, you know, almost a grey arrow, I would have ripped your hands off. So yeah, fingers crossed I might be able to get a bit more with Petrovic, Son and Palmer to go, although all their EOs are fairly high. So, but we'll see. But yeah, 58 points, I will take that. Whereas,
Realise something? Oh, I was just going to say, so you did, Salah, I don't know why I'm trying to bring you down here.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, Salah to Gordon didn't pay off, did it? It would have. That would be, well, if you'd benched Salah and just played Morris.
Well, no, I was playing Salah.
Yeah, you'll be a point up.
Yeah, but I was playing Salah. So okay. It's
even if he was benched,
off, Rich, it's paid off. Let's talk about your one, Rich, because yours was foolproof. Oh. You had wildcard, and I even messaged you saying, "Oh, looking at my team on a minus 12, Rich, wildcard, you've won this year. What's happened?"
I mean, every time someone says that, it goes wrong, doesn't it? Do you remember all the Liverpool players I had?
I know.
Before that double, like in 25, and obviously Trent got injured, Jota and Darwin got injured. I mean, to be fair, the wild card, we're only partway through the week, aren't we? So most of my drafts until Friday night, Saturday morning, had De Bruyne in.
Oh.
Very few of them had Gordon in. And I ended up going for Richarlison. So, yeah. And I actually really still like that, despite the fact I've got 2 injuries. So, yeah, so I'm on 37 points, but I've got Haaland coming off the bench for Foden to auto-sub. I got Burn and Cher, so obviously Cher might be injured. Porro got 1, Richarlison got 1, Haaland's coming in for Foden, Bruno Fernandes, Palmer captain, Son with 7, Isak, and then Jackson. Was very unlucky, to be fair. And VAR took away a Porro assist and a Jackson goal. But yeah, I've got, 7, including captain to play, and the auto sub for Haaland. I mean, I wish I'd gone De Bruyne. But I'm really excited about Richarlison with everything that's happened this week. I genuinely am, but it's just because no one owns him. And because there's been so many injuries now, you know, people are going to be looking at moving out Edison for their bench boost, might be looking at moving out Cher for their bench boost. Gusto, maybe people won't have a transfer. Plus, people's midfields look really good. Like, if I had Gordon over Richarlison, I'd feel reluctant to sell Gordon over Richarlison. So I'm still quite positive. Despite, I'm sure a lot of people look at that and think, why the hell do you want Richarlison? But I think between now and the end of the season, that's going to pay off and he's going to outscore Gordon.
No, I like it. I like it. You've backed him quite heavily, to be fair. So I do like it. I like it when, but, you know, because a lot of people went Brennan Johnson. Obviously, he was benched. But Richarlison, he came in and, you know, looked the part again a little bit for the last 20 minutes. I don't know.
I mean, he looked fit and he managed half an hour. So that's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's success. Obviously, this has been a failure so far. I'd need a miracle on Thursday. But my De Bruyne drafts look really, really good.
Yeah.
And because these scoutcasts got cancelled, we didn't get to see them. You didn't get to talk me into sticking with De Bruyne. I wouldn't have Edison. It could have been so different.
Poor Edison on the bench there as well.
As if I would have talked you out of Edison.
Very true.
No, but I wouldn't have had Edison in my draft. It was De Bruyne. I was going to go De Bruyne, Foden, Haaland.
Well,
I do remember you sending that one actually in the group and thinking it looked cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, you didn't do it, pal, so...
I was going to say, let's hop over to Seb's team. But you know what? I'm going to use a different verb. Let's slide on over to Seb's team so you can talk us through.
Limp. Sure.
Oh, that is how I feel looking at this.
No comment, friend. I have Petrovic in goal, Poirot at the back with Byrne and Van Dijk, which was, I don't think I've spoken to you two since I made that move. That was Vardiel to Van Dijk. So... yeah, that's obviously not gone well, but that wasn't even this week.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, it was going to be Porro, but I went for... Do you remember a while ago when I was like, I just don't like this Spurs double that much? Obviously, they've still got a match to play and it's the easier match, so I'm not trying to call victory there, especially seeing as I own two of them. But for a long time, I was going to do Porro to Van Dijk or Trent. Did Vardiel, so probably like, you know, the worst possible outcome there. Midfield is Son, vice-captain, Saka. Kept Saka, so that was nice. Captain Palmer, like everyone, I think. Foden with zero, so Haaland will come in. And Sarabia with zero, but he did come on and get a yellow card. So, whoops. Isak, some nice points there. And Jackson up front, no points there, obviously. Raya, Haaland, who will come in. Munoz and Gabriel on the bench. I also took a minus 12. It could have been a minus 8. It could have been a minus, I think at one point I'd loaded up like a minus 24 on my screen. So the moves I actually made, I had two free transfers as well. So it was like half a team. I did Gusto to Byrne, Eze to Foden, Salah to Son, Solanke to Isak, and Darwin to Jackson. So that last one, you know, much for a muchness. Flirted with the idea of KDB. Obviously missed out on Gordon. If I'd made an extra move, I think it was, I couldn't have afforded both Sarabia to Gordon and Saka to KDB, but I tried to make that work at one point. So I think I just stopped short. Basically, you know, picked Foden instead of KDB, didn't go Gordon. It still wouldn't have looked good, but wouldn't have been the 40k red arrow that it was. But here we are, friends, and I have 3 weeks. I mean, if you can lose 40k in 1 week, you can gain it in three, right?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Or you can go down another 120k.
It is funny though how last season it was all about Newcastle strikers to finish the season, and it feels like it's exactly the same again this season. And Isak, I mean, at home they just seem to be ridiculous, but we'll talk about that a little bit more as soon as well. So first up on the screen then is what we're looking at in terms of the projected points for players going into game week 36, 37 and 38 and who we think are going to score the most points. Now, the Rate My Team tool is great. It's obviously got the projections there for you. You've got to put your own little slant on it as well, especially with something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, which was X minutes as well. Because look at someone like Haaland this week, you could get it wrong with their minutes, but actually he came on and scored. So it's just making sure that you put your own slants on these projections as well. Now, in terms of the players that are top of this list, we do have players that have double game weeks. We've got players that have double game weeks in game week 37 still. But it's Palmer that's out on top. So Palmer's supposed to be the top scoring player up until the end of the year. But obviously, you know, most people have him now anyway. And then if I just run down this list, so it's Haaland, Son, De Bruyne, Foden, Salah, Bruno Fernandes, Saka. Gross is still there because he's got the double game with there as well. Madison, Isak, Nicholas Jackson, Odegaard, Edison. Now, that's obviously might change a bit depending on the update we hear from him. It's not sounding good, so maybe you can replace him with Ortega. Pedro, which I'm sure Rich will want to talk about in a minute. Pedro Porro, Alvarez, Rodrigo, Bernardo Silva, and then Gordon finishing off the list there. Now, Seb, if I come to you first, you just mentioned De Bruyne there. He's fourth on this list in terms of expected points for the last 3 weeks. He does have the double game week in game week 37. Are you looking at De Bruyne and thinking, if you don't have, say, a City defender, and you think Foden and Haaland are pretty much nailed in your team, are you tempted to just go all out on City? They've got no European fixtures there. They have to keep winning all their games because Arsenal are still breathing down their necks. Go in triple attack. There are worse ideas, aren't there?
Yeah, I think it'd be tempting. So, I mean, we're all going to have Haaland if you're going to have City, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. So it's two midfielders or a midfielder and a defender / goalkeeper. Goalkeeper might be out unless you're already there and stuck in that situation. I mean, Rich nearly went with it. I think wildcard, as it made some good sense. For most other people, it's probably Foden or KDB. And I think looking at this, obviously KDB inches ahead. If they were to both get 90 minutes, you would expect De Bruyne generally to do better than Foden. And I think De Bruyne probably has better minutes. Obviously, Foden was ill. So, you know, I'm not going to try and call, oh, Foden was benched, his X minutes are down. He was ill. So, you know, you can't predict that. But I think with no other matches going on, assuming fitness, KDB probably starts every match and is more likely to get 90 than Foden, probably. And I think his points per minute are better than Foden. So really, it's just a price thing. And as you can see on the furthest right-hand column there, there is a decent enough difference in their value, right? About 20% odd. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can afford KDB, that's probably a nice one. And maybe a little differential. I've not looked at ownership, but I would imagine KDB is lower than Foden. But if you can't, I think Foden, assuming health, of course, is very similar to KDB. Getting both would be tasty, but you've probably just lost Saka. So,
Yeah, true. And I mean, Rich, you said you had De Bruyne on quite a few of your wildcard drafts, but you didn't go for him in the end. Do you regret that now based on what he did this week, or are you still kind of in the same ilk of, no, there was a reason I didn't pick him in the end?
I mean, the reason I didn't pick him has kind of changed now. As in, so I'll be clear. I mean, Foden and Haaland, I think, are so, I don't think this is even bold to say. Maybe somebody would disagree because De Bruyne got the points this week. Mm. I think Foden and Haaland are just so far clear of De Bruyne as an FPL asset. Mine was more like an EO play because I was just looking at, you know, drafts, and there was a lot of drafts that looked quite similar, that had the same potential. But I just thought squeezing in De Bruyne at that time, if you got De Bruyne in, I think a lot of people are then going to struggle because they've tripled up on City. No one's going to get De Bruyne. That was my thought.
Yeah.
But I think the Edison injuries kind of changed that. Well, two things have. De Bruyne hauled, obviously Foden was ill, and then Edison's got injured. So it's given people a route now where they maybe can start thinking about getting De Bruyne in, which I don't think would have happened if Edison had stayed fit.
I think if people had Edison, I think they're just going to go straight to Ortega, aren't they?
Like, potentially.
I can't see them downgrading their keeper and then getting De Bruyne in, if that makes sense.
I mean, goalkeepers are a struggle. And to be honest, I don't want to talk about goalies too much, but a big reason for going for Edison was just because all the goalkeepers were bad.
Mm.
Because even there's basically five goalkeepers who double, and you need two of them if you're bench boosting.
Yeah.
One of them's Inanna. I mean, Dubravka, we don't know what's going on with Pope.
Yeah.
That you had to have one of the Chelsea or Spurs. So it was just a mess. It just felt easy going Edison. But you might be right, but I think people might try and force it now. Because he will be a differential, 37. But stuff can change quickly, can't it? I mean, let's say Arsenal lose the next game and City win or something like that. You know, it could change very, very quickly. And maybe we'll see, Carson in goal for the 37 or 38. You never know, do you?
No, genuinely, that could happen. Yeah. I mean, the other thing as well that kind of puts me off De Bruyne a bit, and Seb, I was going to ask you about this, is, I mean, Gvardiol's just been unbelievable recently. He's scoring goals. I think he scored 3 in his last 3 games. And you look at it, hadn't scored any before that. And you just look at it and think, he's in that rich vein of form. He's pretty much nailed now until the end of the season. Would you say getting a Man City defender in would be the play over getting that 3 City attackers? Because there is a little bit of me that thinks 3 City attackers, like, you're going to be hit with rotation at some point. Like, it's just going to happen, isn't it? Whereas Gvardiol could be a good shout until the end of the season instead.
I think his attacking returns have obviously what's made him look attractive so far. And that's fair enough. Those are good points that count. But I mean, against Forest, they really should have conceded. Yeah. I think I only caught some of the highlights this morning. Chris Wood absolutely fluffed like basically a penalty's worth of a chance, right? And there was another good one, I think, later on as well. So Vardy still would have scored, so still would have got some good points. But I think I can see why people aren't as into the City defence. They're still the best defence in the league. But Vardiel is shining because he's getting attacking returns. Mm. You know, Kyle Walker, for example, isn't. Obviously, the goalkeeper isn't. And I don't think anyone's as excited about them. So I think, while I think he's a decent shout, especially if you expect him to continue getting attacking returns, he was basically playing as like the wide outlet on the left for Man City. And we know Pep likes that, right? We know he likes to really stick to some width, especially depending on his lineups. Really should come inside from the left-hand side. So Vardiel was providing all that width, which obviously is very nice from an FPL point of view. But I think we need to be careful not to get blindsided by his attacking returns and think, oh, Man City defence is a good idea. It only is if you've got the one that scored the goals.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, I do agree with you a bit with Walker in terms of, I think Walker is the other option you go for. He got two assists the other day, didn't he? He got two assists in one game in Hald as well. I think you go for one of the two, but Kvaratskhelia seems to be the flavour of the month at the moment. But yeah, it's looking, I mean, you've just mentioned it there, Rich, then about how, you know, Haaland and Foden being so clear of De Bruyne. Is it as easy to say that if you don't have triple City at the moment, that needs to probably be your priority this week to get another City player in?
Possibly. I mean, it's home to Wolves this week, isn't it? So, it's a good fixture, but you'll be even safer if you wait a week, wouldn't you? Like, waiting to go actually into the double. Because don't forget, like you said, the flavour of the week last week was Walker and Foden.
Yeah.
And now all the talk seems to be about Guardiola and De Bruyne. But it's completely flipped. And it'll probably flip again. And, I mean, something I noticed was a lot of people have had injured defenders as well. So there probably are a lot of people who are looking, you know, they want to use their transfers to replace injured players ahead of bench boost. Maybe they have to look at a City defender. But if I was wildcarding this week, I still think I wouldn't go for a City defender. I'd go for the goalie. Obviously, if we've got clear news, what's going on there, or the triple attack. If I had to go for a defender, because I mean, I was listening to Luke and reading stuff, because obviously he tweets a lot of stuff about Man City and was discussing the defenders, and he just wasn't confident, you know, that a City defender would start every single game. And I mean, obviously one could start every single game, you know, two could start every single game, but if someone who's put, you know, he's literally put hours of research into it, and he couldn't confidently say what's going to happen. For me, I didn't fancy it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, let's talk about some players then that have been flavour of the month for the last couple of weeks, which is the Newcastle boys, and in particular Gordon and Isak. I mean, I've got such a love affair with Gordon this year. Fourth time I've bought him now, but he's so good at home.
Is it only four times?
Four times. I think it's like four times. Someone might look back and it might be five, I don't know. But so ridiculously good at home, and they just score so many goals at home as well. They do concede still, but they score so many goals at home. The thing I was going to ask you is that we've got four fixtures left for them and only one of their fixtures is at home. Now, would that put you off a little bit, Seb, investing in a Newcastle player now? So if you haven't got Isak, would you go, you've missed his points, don't invest in him now? Someone like a Gordon, would you be focusing on bringing somebody else in instead of Gordon? I know I've heard a few people say, no, in 37, Gordon's out for me and I'm bringing someone else in. I'm just looking at it thinking there just seems to be a wealth of points there. Just stick with them now until the end of the season, don't you?
I mean, is this maybe a split between if you already own good times, but if you're making the moves this week, potentially goes elsewhere?
So would you invest this week?
Obviously depends, you know, what team you've got, what situation you're in. Possibly not. Maybe. And I think this is when I was making my crazy number of hits last week. The thing that sort of surprised me was Gordon's price. Maybe I've just not looked at him closely enough. But in my head, he was still like low to mid fives. Yeah. He's 6'2", which is cheap enough, right? But it's not simple to get into the team. Like Sarabia, for example, I can't do to Gordon in a straight move or anything like that, even with a, you know, few point zeros in the bank. So I think if you had him last week, you've got the Sheffield United fixture, which obviously is very attractive along with their other fixtures to come. Now you've given away probably the best single fixture that they had left in the season. So maybe it's less attractive. And that's reflected here, right? He's still in the top, whatever this is, nearly two dozen players that Rate My Tool team has, but he is the very bottom of it. You know, this is where I cut it off. Just under Gordon, I think we started having like Havertz and some sort of lower down defenders appear. So good points, but not spectacular. There is more available to you, especially in the midfield bracket. Look at the top of that. It's all midfielders. Most of them quite a bit more expensive. But like I said, I'd love, if Gordon was still in mid fives, I think it'd be a no brainer. But it maybe feels like it stops you getting, what did it stop me getting? Like a KDB or something like that, if you really wanted KDB.
And what about a player that a lot of people got rid of, including you on Wildcard, Rich? Saka. Like, I was even looking at this week, like, I need to get Foden in back in my team. And I was looking at this week and thinking, well, Saka's the only way I could really do it because there's nobody else I want to get rid of. But then look what he did this week. Everybody was saying he looked tired. We've said it all season. As soon as you stop backing him, he does it. He got an assist and a goal. Is he somebody who's got Bournemouth at home this week, hasn't he? And then he's got one nice fixture in the last week, but doesn't have a double because he's got Man United away. If you had him, would you still be getting rid of him? You've got two nice fixtures in the last three.
I hated losing him. I mean, he's the only player I've owned every game week this season, apart from this one. And I looked at the end of last season and, yeah, I owned him a lot last year. So I hated moving it out. It was just purely the opportunity to bench boost. You know, the strategy seemed too good. There was too many midfielders to choose between. But I'm very jealous of people who've got, like yourself, who've got him this week. And I'm looking at ideas of buying him back in 38. So when you were just asking Seb about, like, would you buy Gordon this week? Borderline. I mean, Rate My Team actually backs this up.
Yeah.
I would buy, my choice would be to buy a Spurs midfielder if you haven't. Mm. Well, actually, not this week. I'd wait for the double. And I'd probably rather have Saka than Gordon.
Oh.
But this was my, I mean, it's all personal preference though, isn't it? I didn't go for Gordon on wildcard, a horrific mistake. But teams I looked at with him, to go back to a wildcard perspective, I was just going to bench him this week anyway.
Yeah.
If I had him. So a lot are going to look at benching this week. A lot of teams might actually end up benching him in 38 as well, or selling for someone like Saka. So yeah, he's good for the double, you know, in 37. But I'm not denying that. But I don't think he's essential. He's just had some massive hauls at home recently.
Yeah. It's interesting, I think, with Saka, because I'm looking at him in terms of...
Sorry, I was talking about Gordon there, but yeah. Yeah, no, I know. We're not on the tangent. Yeah,
no, it's fine. I'm just looking at Saka and thinking, do I need to sell him before double game week 37 when I've got my bench boost? Because he's going to be on my bench, Man United away. But you look at how he's played against Spurs away, and our defence is worse than Spurs. And I'm just thinking, they could play counter-attacking football against us or whatever it is they want to do, and they're going to destroy us anyway, I think. So I'm just thinking, actually, is Saka at Old Trafford, is it that bad?
You've got a tough decision to make there, because there are a lot of people who wildcarded last week that have two Arsenal defenders.
Yeah.
But a big reason they've got two Arsenal defenders is, well, not only are Arsenal the best defence in the league, but the defenders are, like, really, really bad. Like, even for 37, the defenders are really bad, whereas the midfielders are really, really good.
Mm.
So while I'd like to have Saka this week, I think you've got a big decision if you hokey-cokey it in 37, despite the fact he's playing Man United. And I'd probably lean towards you do, just because there's more than five good midfielders for that double.
Yeah, that's the way I'm leaning at the moment. But it's
what, transfer him out in 37 and then maybe transfer him back in.
Yeah. It just week. Doesn't. This week doesn't seem the week to do it because obviously he's got Bournemouth.
No, definitely not. It's a single game week, isn't it? And Bournemouth have been better, but.
But I've got to get Foden in at some point. You know, I got very lucky that he obviously missed out this week, so I've got to get him in at some point. But we'll talk about my team in a minute. But the last thing I wanted to talk to Seb about before we move off this table is, you know, the Egyptian King Salah benched this week, came on, had a spat with Klopp, came out afterwards and said, if I speak, there will be fire. You know, had okay fixtures, but no double. Liverpool seem out of sorts. Most people did get rid of him last week on a minus 12. But if you still have him now, I'm assuming you're going to say the same as, but you've just got to ditch him, haven't you? There's better assets we want in midfield than Salah.
Yeah, I mean, Mourinho, Salah. It probably ties this conversation quite nicely together, because it's a very easy move to KDB, if you fancy that. It's an easy move to Fernandes, who we haven't really mentioned, who I think is also a good pick. Got himself some bonus without getting any contributing attacking returns, which shows how many chances he created. And I think he's got like five returns in a couple of weeks. You know, not the Man United season is ending well, but his really is, it seems. Yeah. Those underlying numbers from earlier in the year maybe translating finally into some points. And then, yeah, you know, Rich has mentioned Saka. If you want to keep Saka or get Saka back, for example, I think it all points to losing Salah. Now, I want to be careful. No, you could play this back to me in 2 weeks' time, and Salah has done that thing he does, which is score lots and lots of FPL points. Absolutely, that is possible. But if ever there were a time to go against, I think a lot of people were looking at selling before we even knew that there was a potential of a fallout with Klopp. Obviously, his minutes were looking a little bit dodgier. We didn't quite know why. Maybe this is why. But yeah, if there's ever been a time in the 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is, he's been in the Premier League, to go against him, it might be in what potentially could be his last few matches at Liverpool.
Which they did come out today and say that they're expecting Salah to stay next year. So that'll be interesting to see whether he stays next year.
So I'm not saying they're lying, But I guess either way you say that, right? If you want him to stay, you say that. If you want someone to pay lots of money, you say that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Like United did with Rashford today. Rich, before we move off this one then, I just doing one more question based on what Seb said there. If you had Salah and you still had him, because maybe you saw the leak late or whatever it was, and you still had him, would you move to De Bruyne or Bruno or someone else?
It doesn't seem as easy as Seb made it sound really easy there, but part of me, I'd almost certainly want to have two free transfers in 37 if you can. And I think, I'm starting Bruno this week away at Palace, but it doesn't like fill me with confidence. You know, if we know Salah starts, which we might not because it's a Friday deadline, I'd rather have Salah at home to Tottenham than Fernandes away at Palace, for example. Mm-hmm. So I would probably try and roll it and then maybe just keep Salah another week. I don't think there's many people who kept him because, you know, it was known quite far in advance of the deadline. So it could be a massive differential. I guess the only risk you've got is, do you know if he definitely plays on Sunday afternoon on Friday? But if they really want to keep him, they're going to play him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, surely, even though Klopp's not going to be there, that's the way you keep him. You don't bench him like again for the what would that be, the third time in four games or something?
Yeah, something crazy ridiculous. Like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the fallout happened because he didn't want to have a hug or something, wasn't it? Like, he was hugging everybody and he didn't want to hug Salah. Salah didn't want to have one.
It's all very strange. But,
it is.
And I would rather have Salah in one game week, as in I've bigged up De Bruyne a bit earlier, but De Bruyne at home to Wolves or Salah at home to Spurs.
Yeah.
I think Salah, his goal threat, just destroys De Bruyne. So...
I'm glad I can't see the chat right now. Right.
Why?
I don't know. I'm assuming that it's all going, what? Anyway, let's
Baker
move on
and Lynn
to...
are trying to draft with you or something, trade with you.
Eh?
Sleeper. Do you know what Sleeper is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they want to trade with you.
Oh, do they?
We didn't need to tell everyone this, though, did we?
No, I was going to say, what's going on? Yeah. Anyway. Right. So we've got a little fixture crush here up from Lego Mane, which... Again, I just love what he's been doing recently. And he basically highlights the best teams with the best fixtures. And now he's even started putting the potential players that you should be considering to the right of it as well. Genuinely, if you don't follow him, make sure you do, because he's so good. He's like Ben Crennan.
Don't get Edison.
Don't get Edison. Yeah. But just looking here, he's got, like
I should
said,
just say, I think he posted this before this last weekend. So this was like a wild, hence, you know, seeing 35. Yeah. Still thought it was... thank you so much for doing this, Lego. I thought it was still really, really useful, but of course we have 1 week more of information now.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Hart.
You're just looking there, and Man City's fixtures just stand out for me. You know, Wolves at home, Fulham and Spurs away in the double. Isn't the nicest of doubles, but you can imagine them getting some points. Then West Ham at home. Arsenal don't have the double, but Man United and Newcastle both do in 37. Brighton... Rich, I'm going to give you your 2 minutes in a minute to talk to us about Pedro, because I'm probably going to be going there. And then we've got Spurs and Chelsea, both the double in game week 37 as well. And they all have nice fixtures to finish the season too in game week 38. So they are worth investing in. Even if you have to take a hit or two, I think it's good, especially with the bench boost there. But Rich, Brighton, we haven't spoken about them at all. They didn't turn up on the Rate My Team tool there, apart from Gross. But... talk to us about Pedro, because I've got Morris and I'm going to need a cheap striker. He's got the double, two home fixtures. I think Muric scored their goal of the month last month, which was an own goal because they haven't scored a goal in April. So talk me into it.
I don't need 2 minutes. I mean, but part of what I was going to say is the fact that Muric got
You've
their
definitely
goal of the
said
month.
That before.
honestly.
I don't need 2 minutes, love. Carry on.
Anyway, it's gone 9 o'clock at least.
Yeah, it is. Watershed's gone, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't tempted by Pedro at all. And really? To be honest, the lineup at the weekend, I mean, they played two guys I'd never heard of. I mean, they seem to do this a lot, don't they? They just, these regen players that we've talked about that just appear in the squad. Like you said, they haven't scored a goal of the month. It was, you know, an own goal that's won there. On the goal of the month. I mean, I get it for you, you know, in your situation.
Cheers.
But I mean, you wouldn't do it on a wild card. Like, people wild carding last week, very few went for him. Because you just don't know what Brighton are going to do. What lineup they're going to do. I mean, I think he played on the left as well. He didn't play central.
So who's your preferred three up front then? Haaland, Isak and...
Haaland, Isak and Jackson.
Really?
People seem really low on Jackson, and I don't know why. It seemed like an absolute no-brainer. And, I mean, I didn't actually fall for him earlier in the season, so or get unlucky with with him. Sorry. I fell for Pedro. But yeah, it just seemed like an absolute no-brainer. I actually thought it was more of a no-brainer than Isak. Like when I was picking my team, it was basically, it went Haaland, Jackson, and then Isak was like my third favourite. Just because the fixtures are good. I mean, you look at this, look at the hop on, hop off. Every single game is good. Like for...
Does this just not seem like it almost seems like Darwin's being found out now and he's getting dropped by Liverpool and the stats have always been there, but he's never been doing it. Surely Jackson is exactly the same.
Darwin's returns are actually quite good.
This is me though. Doing devil's advocate, just, by the way.
It's just, like, it's so Darwin, like the expectation, because we see him miss loads of chances. And I think this is where we separate, you know, real football and FPL. Real football, he puts up a load of chances and he just continuously does not hit those numbers. At some point, maybe that point for a lot of people has already passed, you go, here is a serial XG underperformer, despite being an overperformer at one point in his past. Maybe that was an outlier, right? At some point, you go, he just cannot convert those chances. So even if he continues getting them, we need to adjust expectations down and he's not as good as we'd like him to be. But I think in FPL, he's still putting up, now this isn't expected goals, this is actual goal return, something like 0.8 per 90 goals and assists, which is really, really good. So if we can set aside the fact that you want him to get more, which I completely understand, he still continues to be quite a decent option. And I think Jackson might be similar. I think Jackson is poorer, so like his underlying numbers are poorer. He's probably a poorer striker in general. But I think separating expectation and the return, I think Jackson's returns are still good enough for him to be an FPL option, especially in situations like this, right, where Chelsea, as Rich has put lovely, I've got good fixtures, he's a decent price, he fits in our squad well. He just maybe isn't going to return like an Isak, for example, in the same sort of situation. But I think he'll get enough, or I hope he gets enough to be a good choice.
And it's also not just about Jackson, as in Jackson's got, obviously he's got minutes and he's got the fixtures. And he has some underlying data, you know, whether people care about that or not, that's up to them. I personally like to lean that way a little bit. But there's also other options. I mean, you're talking about Pedro. He doesn't have as good a minutes as Jackson.
Hoyland.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not really many strikers around. I mean, look at like Tottenham, for example. You can't pick a Tottenham striker. Werner's now injured. So we're really limited like on who we can pick. So I think that's why he felt like a no-brainer, because he's getting good minutes for a team with good fixtures.
Callum Wilson?
I mean, again, you're going back to the minutes, because I did think, could you go Wilson and Isak? But that just feels really risky. What and why? Wouldn't you just go Jackson?
I suppose as well, because I'm thinking about the bench boost, so I'm going to need to play that player in 37. Whereas I suppose the other thing you could do is just not have three strikers and you just go for five in midfield, because we're just talking about how, you know.
What, on a bench boost?
No, not on bench boost. if you weren't on bench boost.
Okay, I was like, have you played a bench boost?
I play loads of formats of this game. I haven't picked Jackson in any of them. And I just look at it and think I would rather have one of those other midfielders, like say a KDB and a Foden, and be able to play both of them, if that makes sense. Or I don't know. I know you've got
the stars have aligned a little bit. As in, if this was like game week 7 or 8, I wouldn't be bringing in, and there was no doubles and stuff, wouldn't be bringing in Jackson. But I feel like the stars have aligned a little bit for him.
I'm saying this now, he's going to get a brace against Spurs, isn't he?
I'd rather him than Pedro. And you know how many weeks I've owned Pedro, and Seb was guilty of that as well. Just not as prolific.
God, I'm going to end up with Pedro. I've got like 7.7 million in the bank at the moment, so I can go up to whoever I want, really.
Do you want to be sweating on the team sheet on a bench boost as well? When he could be playing, he could not be playing. I mean, he's great at penalties if he wins them.
Pedro.
But he could be playing with the under-18s by the end of the season, couldn't he?
He could do, yeah.
just Pedro, Gross, Duncan, and a load of kids.
True. Well, let's have a look at over-unders then, because I've made this night, and Farrell, again, thank you so much. You've been doing this all year for me and you're a legend. I didn't put up the original image you sent me, but I put up the the edited one. So we've got some interesting players on here. Most of them we've actually already talked about tonight, but we're just looking at their projections over the next 3 weeks. So this is how many points we think they're going to score moving into the last 3 weeks of the season. And the first one up is Kevin De Bruyne. He's got Wolves at home, Fulham and Spurs away in the double game week, and then West Ham at home. I've got him as 19.5, Seb. What are you thinking? 19.5 for one of the best midfielders that's ever graced FPL. What are you thinking?
I think that's really nicely judged. If I remember, going to cheat and go back to rate my team. Was he like 22, something like that, maybe?
So, yeah.
I think 20s. That says over, but then again, we think it's probably a little bit kinder on minutes. So I think his minutes are good. Injury notwithstanding, of course. So I'm going to go over, but I think he'd need the minutes to do it. And maybe the double is where you see... It depends on what happens with the title, right? If they go and fluff it against Wolves, I think they'd still be in it, wouldn't they? Because at the moment, if they win all their matches, it's their title. I think they can afford... Can they afford one draw? And then Arsenal... I think Arsenal could then take it. But yeah, I think depending on what happens in that Wolves match, I think he probably starts both Fulham and Tottenham. If he does, I think he can go and clear 20. But so I'll go just over. Long-winded answer, apologies. Over.
No, that's fine. And I'm going to go to Rich, but Seb, I was just going to mention, could you go and have a look and see if there's any super chats and just keep track of them? Is that all right?
Sure, my friend.
Because obviously I'm not able to at the moment. Rich, KDB, what do you think? Over, under, 19.5?
Yeah, I'll go over. I'll go over. He's good for bonus, so it won't take much.
I like it. What about your mate, Anthony Gordon? I say your mate, he's my mate. Anthony Gordon up next. 18.5. He's got Burnley away, Brighton at home, Albion at home, then Man United away, and then Brentford away. So three away fixtures, but those fixtures do look nice, if you're being honest. 18.5, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll go over. He'd probably do it all in the Brighton game and then blank in the rest. But yeah, I'll go over.
I like it. Seb, what are you thinking, over or under?
I mean, I wanted to say over, and then I was like, it's only 1 point short of KDB. Do I think he matches KDB? No.
No.
I think just under. I think he'll do well. I think he's a good pick, but I think just under. You know, go and clear 16, 17 points in those weeks is good enough.
Yeah. Well, what about Bruno Fernandes then? The highest score, projected score I've got this week. Crystal Palace away, Arsenal at home, Newcastle at home, Brighton Hove Albion away. 20.5, Seb. He's absolutely killed it recently.
Yeah, so more than KDB there. Again, his minutes are nailed, right? But much tougher fixtures, I think. And obviously a poorer team, but then that doesn't really seem to matter for Bruno, right? He's probably performing. If he was in the City team, yeah, I think he gets even more FPL points. But he probably wouldn't be performing that much better, right? I think he still performs very well no matter how Man United are doing, at least in an FPL sense, real football aside. But Arsenal, tough. Brighton, tough. Newcastle, sometimes tough, sometimes maybe not. Crystal Palace, not sure. Yeah.
So like Simeone there.
Yeah, that went through my head. Sometimes good, sometimes maybe good, Gattuso. Sometimes maybe Seb's rank.
Oh, Gattuso, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Gattuso. So I think you could go under here. But again, I think all three of those players we've just talked about are pushing 20 points. So it's marginal stuff. I think I'll go just under for Bruno.
Yeah. What about you, Rich?
I feel like you've set this up, so I'm going to say that Bruno's better than Gordon or something.
No. Wait,
why is Bruno projected so high?
I wouldn't do that. What do you think, though? Over or under?
It comes back to the bonus again, doesn't it? I'm going to go over. I do think he's going to go over.
So
he's a penalty taker, isn't he?
So Bruno's Gordon a better pick than De Bruyne, then? Is that what you're saying?
I said De Bruyne would go over.
Yeah, no, good. No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Don't get funny.
I said they'll all go over.
What about your man Saka then? Bournemouth at home, Man United away, Everton at home. 15.5, over or under?
Over.
Yeah. Seb?
One less fixture, but you've taken off, you know, between 3 and 5 points for that. Yeah, probably over.
Yeah. Nicholas Jackson, I mean, this is the easiest under we're going to have all night. Nicholas Jackson, 14.5. West Ham at home, Forest away, Brighton away, Bournemouth at home, 14.5. I could have put him on as 7.5 and we'd be having a debate about this. What do you think, Seb, over or under?
If that was Isak with those fixtures and that points total, I think we'd all go over. We've got Gordon over, right? As mentioned a minute ago, probably a poorer converter of chances than Isak, but at some point he'll get enough for it not to matter, assuming he keeps his place. I know people have talked about him being dropped, but I'm not sure we've seen any real signs of that. People better informed in Chelsea news than me will know. I'm going to go over because of number and kindness of fixtures, not necessarily a player. He's the striker for he's a good enough striker for a team that have good fixtures and quite a few of them. So I think he can clear 14.5.
Rich?
You've got him to get 3.6 points a game.
Yeah, it's generous.
I think that's quite offensive.
When he misses a penalty.
generous.
I don't even love him, but wow, that is harsh. It's an easy over, surely.
Oh, God. This is so far under for me. If he
you'll
gets,
change your mind on Thursday night, you'll be like, oh, gets, I've decided Pedro's minutes aren't good, so yeah, I'll just have to go Jackson. Yeah.
If he gets over 8 points, I'll be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
What, against Spurs?
Yeah. last but not least, we've got Ortega I've put in there. Now, this is with the assumption that Edison would be out. So we do not know that, by the way. But if Edison is out, what are we thinking for Ortega, Rich? So I've got him as 14.5. He's got Wolves at home.
The same as Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to take a penalty, mate.
Wolves at home, Fulham away, Spurs away, West Ham at home. 14.5. I did this as basically two clean sheets. So what are you thinking?
Do you know what? Seb was joking then. But one of the reasons I justified Edison was I thought there's like a 2% chance he takes a penalty.
Just anger in the shootout as well.
Could you imagine? Oh, it was a great pen.
Leeds wrapped up. They're 7-0 up on the final day. Haaland's been subbed off. Penalty. Edison steps up. Takes it off De Bruyne.
You've got... the thing is, if I go over, I've gone over for every single one.
I love it.
But this is basically just two clean sheets.
Yeah, so that's what I worked out as,
yeah. Yeah, I've got to go over.
Yeah. Seb?
Yeah, I think this one should be the easiest to work out and therefore the easiest for you to nail. I think your choice here was like 14.5 or 15.5 because I reckon he gets about 15, which I think is what Rich has worked out too. So I will go over marginally. If City keep the clean sheets, they should. We've got how many bank on him for saves or bonus? Probably. I think he clears this.
And City always keep clean sheets when we want them to. So
famously, mate. Famously. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Let's have a look at our bus teams then. So this is my bus team going into the week. I got Petrovic in goal. I've got Gabriel Reguilon and Cher. Then I've got Gordon, Saka, Son, Garnacho and Palmer. Palmer is my captain at the moment, but I think that's because I haven't moved it. Probably be Haaland if he's fit. And then Haaland and Isak up top with Morris, who's got Everton at home, which I know Everton have been quite good defensively, but he's done all right for me recently. Zabani, Gusto and Areola. I want to use a transfer this week and I would really love to get either a City defender in, so Gvardiol, and probably get rid of, Zabani, whatever it is. Or I want Foden back if Foden's going to be in there. But I have no idea who to lose to get Foden in. Because I don't want to lose Gordon. Saka's got Bournemouth at home. Son has got the double in 37. Garnacho's got the double and Palmer's got the double. I don't know who I would get rid of for Foden at the moment. Saka would be an easy one in 37 to get rid of for Foden, I think. So I think I'm probably going to go the Gvardiol route and get him in defence instead.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about earlier, though. It's really hard to sell the midfielders because you don't want to make a mistake when they're perfectly, adequate. Also, I love how you tried to flex that you had Morris there at the start for just no reason. I didn't quite get that. You were like trying to sell Morris.
He's done well recently. Nobody owns him. Literally nobody. Oh, they don't. And he's got me a few goals in the last like 5-6 weeks. So, but no, I think I'll probably go the Gvardiol route personally and get a City defender in there. It means I've got another defender for the double. The other thing I could do is I could do Ortega, but then that rules me out of doing anything spicy with City picks. It means I would get Ortega, Foden and Haaland, which doesn't seem like the highest upside out of all of them, but it means I'd have two goalkeepers for the double for my bench boost. So
yeah. I don't get why you'd get Ortega now.
Oh, no, that's what... Yeah, I don't think I'd do that now. I think Gvardiol or Foden's the way to go, but it's just don't think I can lose anybody in that team for Foden. That's the thing. So,
do you trust the Man City defenders? Because there might be a new flavour of the week next week. True. It might be Ake. Might be Rico Lewis is back. You just never know.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, that's the way I'm kind of gearing towards it at the moment. But I feel quite good about the team. I should do after a minus 12. So,
Captain Palmer.
No, I think it'll probably be Haaland if he's declared fit to play, which you're expecting him to, because obviously he came on and did well. So, yeah, that's probably the way I'm going to go at the moment. Rich, moving on to your team, talk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of dilemmas, but they're just waiting on news, really, isn't it? So I've got Edison in goal. If he's injured, Petrovic is more than apt and coming in, maybe. We'll see what happens Thursday and I'll make my decision. Gabriel, Byrne and Cher is injured. So if Cher's not doesn't play, do I do a transfer or just play Porro or Maguire? Something I did miss out on wild card was I didn't go for the double Arsenal defence that a lot of people have got. And obviously I had it basically most of the season as well. So I kind of missed that already. So I could do share to White. I did actually keep the money to do that. I've kept a bit of money in the bank for flexibility. So I could do share to White. But, I mean, obviously he doesn't double in 37.
Yeah.
So it does kind of bore me. And then I'll be playing Son, Foden, Fernandez, Palmer, Vice, Jackson, Isak, Haaland captain, and then Richarlison would be first sub, ready to unleash in game week 37. So, I mean, I could basically just roll because I could play Porro or Maguire. I could play Petrovic. It would be fine. Yeah. And then I can make my decision in 37, which when I'm going to be bench boosting with two free transfers. Let's say Edison is injured, 100% injured, and Cher is like touch and go. Maybe I should just do Edison to Ortega because I'm going to do it next week anyway. I don't know. It's not very exciting after wild card. The injuries are the only thing that have made it exciting.
It's just frustrating you've got that potential Edison injury. I personally think Cher plays. I think he kind of has to play and they've got a lot to play for as well. So I think they kind of make him play.
I hope you're right, but it's the hamstring. And if you go, let's say he does miss a game and it's Eddie Howe we're going to be relying on.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't if he doesn't play against Burnley, are we going to trust him on our bench boost? Because you're going to have this issue as well. And the only thing I'm glad about is I didn't book in a transfer because I was thinking about going basically Brennan Johnson or Maddison.
Yeah.
And then switching them to Richarlison in 37.
Yeah.
I've gone straight to the plough I wanted. So that's why I was happy earlier on, even though it doesn't seem like the chat are that keen on Richarlison. So I maybe won't mention him anymore.
Well, let's swiftly move on to Seb's team then. Before we move on to the community team, which I'm probably only going to talk about for 10 seconds. So Seb, talk us through your team, mate.
Ryan goal, Gabriel, Burn and Van Dijk at the back. Son, Saka, Palmer, Foden, Haaland captain, Isak and Nicola Jackson with Petrovic, Munoz, Sarabia and Petri Porro on the bench. I've very definitely not played this well, have I? My rank shows that. I've messed this up. So I think from here, you know, the temptation, of course, is to try and do something silly, but I think maintaining course is my best option. Maybe there's an opportunity. You know, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we were last talking, like, if you're 20k odd, sure, you could gamble and try and go get really high, but I think you still just take the sensible moves. Maybe the time at the very end of the season when you want to gamble is, you know, if you're closer to 100k and would like to be closer to 10 or 20, maybe that's the opportunity. I think we spoke about it during the free hit, didn't we, where there weren't necessarily many opportunities. So potentially there will be in 37. I think I need two transfers for that. The only player I don't really like in this team is Van Dijk. I think the rest is muchly what, say, Rich has, what people have wildcarded, give or take. They are just better set up with, say, benches and whatnot for a bench boost. I do still have my bench boost. I probably should have planned to use that 34. That's when my mistake started happening. So I think roll, try and use two, if not a couple more transfers next week to put a decent bench boost together. And then punt for something in the final week of the season and hope to not be in six figures.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think you'll be all right. You'll come good now. And then community team. 59 points and a 13k green arrow. They're now up to 36k. So they are officially tonight, they are second out of us four. They had Petrovic in goal. They had Gvardiol with his 15 points. Cher with one. Pedro Porro with one, who's got another game yet. So is Petrovic. Gordon with 10. Bruno with four. They played their wild card, by the way. Son with seven. Got another game. Foden with zero. So Haaland comes in with five. Palmer captain. Nicholas Jackson, the fools, with 2 points and got another game. And then Isak with 13. And they're very well set up. Apart from the fact Van Hek is now out. It could be out until the end of the season. We don't know yet. So that's scuppered them a little bit. But I'm just going to say, I've never had Matt, FPL Rank Chaser, and FPL Dan Dave in my DMs so much as I have this week because they are loving life in their group
chat.
Fair play
to them. They were miles off. They've done a good job. They've done a really good job.
No.
Look, okay.
No, this is one of those things where just give them their moment. All right, this is their moment. This is their one good week of the season. It's not going to last. They're going to fall back again.
Easy for you to say, mate. You're still ahead of them.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's
mid game week, and they haven't got Richarlison. So,
That's true.
Yeah.
No, fair play to you guys. Also, the other thing I was going to say is 35 weeks so far as well. They've done incredibly well to last this long because this is one of those things where, you know, a community team can drop off really quickly. But actually, you've lasted all this time, so we do appreciate you. You're not allowed to beat us. That wasn't in the contract.
If you read between the lines what Andy's saying, if there are 3 weeks left for us to hope for them to implode, that's the only chance we have.
Big time. Just like Seb did that time when he captained Pope for the community team.
You still owe us one of them. This isn't a real community team unless you give us a weird captain.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, fair play to everybody that's in there, and thank you very much for doing it this season. And if you're up for it, I said to them that they could clear the deadwood out from the group chat, because I'm sure there's people in there that are just still in there from the beginning and don't really do much, and they'll start a new group chat next year and they'll take us on again, which would be good, because, you know, they'll only beat Seb this year, so it'll be nice for them to try and beat all of us next year. Right, let's move on to some questions. And Seb, have you got some super chats there ready
we
for
did,
us? Were there any
we did have up? One super chat that I was able cool. to find. If I've missed another, I believe you can refund them, so please do that if I don't ask yours. From Faisy Urchin, I believe. Who would you change? So I'm going to give you a team, so pens up, as they don't say. Who would you change in this wildcard 36 team? Goalkeeper, so I guess it doesn't matter about goalkeeper. Pedro Porro, Saliba, Gabriel, Branthwaite, and Bracco. Who's Bracco?
Brighton defender.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cool, that's the defence. Midfield of KDB, Son, Fernandez, Foden, and Palmer. Pretty standard, no Saka, I guess maybe that's a conversation. And then Haaland, Isak, and João Pedro. So Pedro, probably the cheaper option there to allow for a more expensive midfield, double Arsenal defence within some cheaper options. What would you change? Are we looking to try and get Saka in that team?
I'm not sure whether I'd have double Arsenal defence right now before the double game.
I think there's more argument for it now than there was last week.
Really?
Because there's only one double now. Because I think last week a lot of us were having to go for like a Spurs defender like Porro or something. Now I'd probably rather have the double. I mean, if having both is good. I mean, you could even go for three. If you're happy with going without Saka. The defenders, honestly, Seb was showing his team just now, for example. He said a lot of the players are the same as mine. The attackers are the same as mine, and they are. And the issues he's got is the defenders, but that's the issue everyone's got. Defenders are just bad.
I mean, for me, I think the midfield is set there. I think that's absolutely lovely. It's just whether you get someone cheaper.
Someone missing.
Yeah. What, Saka? No. All right. But it depends whether he needs bench boost. Because if he doesn't need bench boost, I suppose, do you really need Pedro?
That's a good shout, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'd argue for Jackson over Pedro. But then, same question with bench boost, I guess. Presumably one of the goalkeepers is Chelsea goalkeeper. So the only thing I'd wonder, obviously there's Palmer, I'd wonder if there's room for one more Chelsea player potentially in that.
But it must be a bench boost with all the Brighton.
Yeah, good shout. So I think we're finessing this, right? This is, team looks good. It's just finessing the edges to preference. So Saka, fair enough. I think then it's a preference between maybe you've got more Brighton than Chelsea there. So maybe that's the call you're making.
Yeah. Right, let's have a few more questions then. Bashir, even Bashir, is part of my community. Make sure you have a look at my community if you want to. It says, do I start Petrovic and Jackson or Onana and Madison this week? What do you think, Rich? Petrovic and Jackson or Onana and Madison?
Petrovic. Yeah, Petrovic and Jackson.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I think that's quite a nice fixture home to West Ham.
Madison's right off the boil, isn't he?
There was talk, I know Baker was in the chat, they were talking about on above average that maybe Madison won't even start on Thursday. So, I mean, that would be interesting if he gets dropped.
Kieran
not
says,
interesting if you own him.
No, true. Kieran says, who to bench at? Jackson, Gordon, Bruno or Foden next week, Seb? Jackson, Gordon, Bruno, Foden.
Is that potentially Gordon?
Yeah, he's away as well, isn't he? It's Burnley, but it's away again. Who is it? Sorry, someone. Demetrius says, I'm ranked 276 here. I advise you getting Romero instead of Porro. Fair play. I mean, Romero, that goal, by the way. Raya just gave it straight to him, didn't he? I was thinking, Romero that was there?
The only reason that I partly looked at Romero, and it was brief, is because of our friend Diffy, because he was top, 1K really early in the season, wasn't he? And he had Romero smashing it for weeks. But I just thought North London derby, he could be at risk of a red card as well.
Yeah, true. Lennox says, wildcard 28 with the same team as Andy at about 70k. I'm now 10k with only a few transfers different since. The power of variance. Yeah, big time. I made a lot of 50-50 calls wrong. What's it? Da-da-da-da. Dale Cooper, I've missed the beginning of this pod, but I'll go back and listen to the rest. Thank you very much. And yeah, we haven't got many others, actually. Dara
That's
says...
because we've got bad hours, mate. No one wants our advice anymore.
Exactly. Dara says, who to bench next week between Garnacho and Hoyland? What would you say? Rich, go to you first, then Seb.
Oh, I'd probably bench Hoyland.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Garnacho has more chance of a clean sheet.
Yeah. Did you see...
genuinely.
Did you see which Man United player passed to passed to Hoyland the most last week?
Is it? I'm guessing it's not Bruno then.
No, it's Onana with four.
Oh, wow.
Four passes. He was the person that passed to him the most out of the whole team.
That's crazy.
Yep. We just don't supply him. We just play inside forwards. Right. We just don't give him any service. Like, it's
greedy.
It's crazy.
Greedy
so,
ones
yeah,
as well.
I'd say Hoyland easily. And Seb, Michael Scott's asking the kind of similar, bench Garnacho or Gordon?
Maybe Garnacho there. Just let me double check fixture to make sure I'm being sensible. Yeah, probably Garnacho.
You're right, Palace. Yeah, I'd bench Garnacho there. But I'd play Bruno over Gordon.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I think that's. I mean, penalties, if nothing else, right?
Yeah.
Let alone better point scorer.
Right. Thank you so much for everybody in the chat for joining us this evening. And thank you for your questions as well. I'm glad that we finally managed to get a stream working so you could watch it. And for all the people listening on the pod as well. Rich, thanks so much for joining us this evening, my man. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I am. I feel relief.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah. Oh, I've not felt that much this week.
Exactly. Seb, thank you so much for joining us as well. You're on when you've got a red arrow. So we appreciate you being here.
Probably one of the biggest red arrows I've ever had in terms of percentage. So, yeah, I'll see you next year.
Yeah.
I'd like to stop now. 72K. I finished inside the top 100K. It's fine.
We all know Seb has got the, you know, like last season where you had Wilson over Isak captain. That's coming. So yeah.
Something's going to happen.
I feel like I've done the opposite, mate. We'll cry about it at the end of the season. But no, I don't think this year. I think I've misplayed it. And I think my rank is deserved.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Thank you if you're listening on the pod after. And may your arrows be green moving forward. Hopefully the Chelsea-Spurs game gets us some points and Palmer gets another one of his four goal hauls. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.